In a super challenging sales environment like the one we're experiencing right now in the middle of 2024, you need to find a way to differentiate yourself, to be unique and add value to your customers in every interaction you have with them. So if you're somebody who's trying to find a way to differentiate yourself, say you're a sales rep who's trying to stand out against your competitor, or you're somebody who's looking to get a job amongst an ocean of other applicants, you're going to want to stick around for today's episode. Joining me is Sujan Patel, who's the co-founder of Mailshake, a sales engagement platform that is used by over 62,000 sales and marketing professionals. Sujan also owns four other SaaS companies, and he's been in the digital marketing world for 20 plus years, and he's helped brands like Mint and sales, several other Fortune 500 companies with their digital marketing strategies. Sujan is going to give you the three key actions that everyone from entrepreneurs to sales professionals and customer experience managers can take to succeed in what he has labeled the toughest sales climate he's ever experienced in his career. I really think Sujan's creative approach is onto something here. It's going to help you stand out in an overly commoditized market and help you add real value to both your customers and your prospects alike. I'm Damon Lemby, CEO of LearnIt, a live learning platform that has upskilled over 2 million people over the past three decades. And you're listening to the Learn It All podcast, where great leaders aren't born or made. They're constantly in the making. I'm really looking to dive in with Sujan and talk about where sales are at today, whether it be SaaS or in general. So Sujan, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Excited to talk to you about how to sell in my today's market. It's probably the hardest time most sales professionals have sold into.
I would have to agree with you on that. We were just talking before we got started, and it's very challenging. LearnIt's been around for 29 years, and there's waves that go back and forth. But now is a very challenging time. So tell me, where are things at right now with sales, especially around SaaS? What is needed to be successful right now?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, so if you look at SaaS, it is now like a level playing field. And there's also the level playing field in terms of features, functionality. Everyone kind of does everything you probably need. And there's a lot more competition. And the competition comes from two areas. So we're Mailshake, we've outbound sales is our core use case. There are a lot of other outbound sales products, okay? So lateral, horizontal customers, right? There are, when we enter the market, there's 15, 8, 9 years ago. Now there's, I don't know, 300 and something. I just stopped counting after 100. But there's also competitors from other categories. So think, again, the outbound sales example, Gong, Chorus, Zoom Info. They were in adjacent spaces in the sales tech space that would be used that tool and us. Now they're entering the space. So you're getting kind of competition from previous partners, right? So there's competition everywhere. And usually those partners are not going to build as good as the core of use case. The same thing is we're building a data product we have. So we're also competing with them as well. So ultimately features and functionality are fairly, I wouldn't say that equal, like 100% for every single use case. But you're not going to win on, I've got this unique feature, because first of all, it's cheaper than ever to build features and it's easier than ever. That's why it's cheaper. So everyone, if you had it today, you have an advantage for a month or three, right? Like under 90 days, someone else can do it. So anyways, what can you do to sell your product to somebody? So I'm going to just rattle off some things that are not all sales, by the way. So first and foremost, have a brand. Like your brand is who you are, like what you've been doing and consistently been building a brand. Now, if you haven't been doing that and you're like, you've only been focusing on aggressive sales campaigns, you're missing out on having a great brand that people know who you are. Mailshake, I'm just going to go back to the example of us and then go back to the idea. So Mailshake, we've been around for 8, 9 years. We have a brand. Most of our customers that come inbound come from the Google search Mailshake, right? Like they literally, or type in Mailshake or Milkshake. So it's all over. Our brand has been all over the place. And frankly, our brand gets more conversion or customers and traffic than various sales related keywords with intent. But building a brand is not easy. It takes consistency. My 2 cents on how to get started if you haven't done it is start creating content or curating content today, right? It's going to be shitty. You might do a video or whatever. Pick your platform, right? And if you're in sales, probably LinkedIn is a great place. Number two, it's really your sales team is an extension of your user experience. So train your sales team now more than ever to be helpful. So there's the whole like, okay, you want a car? Does it have these features? Go start asking questions, really dig into the actual problem. And even if they're not, so first you're identifying if they're a fit, but even if they're not a fit, help them. One of the biggest things we've done differently at Mailshake is our sales reps are constantly like, how can I help you be successful? What are you actually trying to do? Before I tell you about our product, tell me about what you're trying to do. What are the outcomes? How many, so in our case, outbound sales, how many leads do you need? A lot of times we're like this, our sales team is like coaching them on, please don't run this strategy. It's not going to work. Let me just help you with a better approach. And like, it delays the sale. Sometimes it kills the sale. But when we do get the customer, they are stickier and they're leaving positive reviews. And again, going back to that brand, they have a good experience. So be helpful as a sales rep. Start with that.
I want to just add one more thing because I really like what you just said, is that I think customers and prospects even, they actually like it if you challenge them. If you're assertive with them and say, no, you know what? I don't really think that this is the right strategy for you. Especially if you come in from, let's say, from Mailshake and say, this is our point of view. This is what we've seen work. That starts helping you build trust and credibility with the prospect right at the beginning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And frankly, it's one of those things that I'd say is easy to forget. So if you're in sales and someone's, I want to buy, I'd say if you're in car sales and someone comes to you and wants to buy the most expensive vehicle, your gut reaction, hell yeah, it's going to be a fat mission check. Let me go sell them this Dodge Viper to a 16-year-old who got their license. The reality is you could do that and probably win one out of every 50 times, 100 times, but that person is going to crash their car. They're going to fail. They will never buy from you again. In B2B sales, it's all about that long-term relationship. They might come back. There's a longer kind of window to sell and have that relationship. So I'd say, first and foremost, figure out what they're trying to do. Sell that Dodge Neon, right? That $20,000 car. Get them hooked to come back again for another sale or upgrade. And so what we've done is actually going to this third part is actually pricing. So winning on best value, at least that's what I've found that has worked for us today. We will not going to be best value forever. And best value means like cheapest for what that person is trying to do, right? Lowest cost without sacrificing any of what they need. So we're just like, hey, look, you need to be successful. We're going to get you this for the next year. When you're successful, you're going to have a bigger budget. Here's our normal price. Let's talk again, but let's talk again when you're successful. And so again, understanding their problem, understanding and what you can offer and effectively being, I'm really masking the fact that I'm saying discounts and being lower cost and making a deal happen, even if that's not what you're normally used to. If someone is coming in from a competitor, especially if they're switching over, the reason you need to be best value is frankly, the next conversation they're going to have after you sell them is go back to the competitor and say, hey, I'm moving on. They're going to ask why. It's price, match my deal. Okay, I'm going to stay. Now you lost your sale.
So what I hear you saying, starting back at number three, is be inexpensive. Even if discounting is not something that you're typically doing, find a way to get the customer in the door, right? Get them in the door, have them build trust with you, and maybe even be able to, if you have some auxiliary products that you can get them to buy into as well. Now, also I heard you say, especially in your world, price is important, but also making it easy for them to switch. That's not necessarily sales, but making it so you remove the barriers so they can go from, let's say, outreach to Mailshake. Going back to brand, and I think this is important too, because it's not necessarily just the founders and that should be a no-brainer, right? That should happen. But also, I think a lot of the sales reps out there, account executives, they need to understand that they need to build their personal brand as well. Can you elaborate a little bit more on why that's important, not just for the brand, but for the actual individual?
That's actually a lot. And that's a great segue. That's like my last thing here. Is if you're in sales, I'm glad you mentioned it. It's perfect too. We're thinking the same thing. So yes, if you're in sales, how do you build trust? Just like a company builds trust, is having a brand. When I show up to, it is a simple thing. I've been speaking at a bunch of conferences over the last like decade. When I show up to a marketing thing, people usually know who I am because they've seen some content over the course of the last decade. So I put in the work, right? Like I've created, I'd say 5,000 plus pieces of content that some of them got maybe 10 views, some of them got hundreds, some of them thousands, tens of thousands, what have you. But I put in the work, right? So going back to building a brand takes consistency. Just like one step at a time. But if you're in sales, it's just so easy. The last decade, the last at least 5 years or so, like 2015 to 2021, everyone was buying. You could be the worst salesperson. And it created the weakest, shittiest salespeople and sales experiences. Because like, I need X. I need to do this. I'm going to go do it no matter what. Get out of my way. Today, I need to cut costs. I need to be as efficient as possible. I don't want to buy. You need to sell. So building a personal brand. So how do you do it? If you're in sales and you're in B2B or you're selling to salespeople or anyone really in B2B enterprise, I'd say LinkedIn is where you're going to want to be, right? Creating content. This is a great example. Host a podcast. Interview leaders in your space, right? So what you're effectively doing when you do a podcast and interview thought leaders is you get the trust by association, right? I'm on your podcast or marketing, you'll see it and they're going to be like, oh, I know this guy. It's awesome podcast. So now, Damon, you get the association. You have a lot of badass guests. You're going to get the association from all of them. That's a big ask. So maybe don't start there. One of the simplest things you can do is curate content. So what I mean by this is like starting a newsletter or even just posting what you're reading. And don't just say, I'm reading these 5 articles or I'm reading this thing. Talk about this as what you took away. So if you read an article on like how sales is changing, let's say you listen to this podcast or I got some nuggets. Okay, you can share the podcast. You now have zero association with this podcast. If you said, you got to check out, hey followers, you got to check out minute 5, 17, and 32, because there are some really important things that's going to help you sell, specifically this, that, the other. You're now the source of information of how I got my answer. Even though I am the creator of the answer and you are the creator of the content, the person who shared it is now the creator of the answer and how they get it. So they get association through it. So if I were in sales and I had 5 minutes a day, I would read an article and share, or a podcast or a video, and literally just share my takeaway. And better yet, short, sweet. And if you're in sales, go to ChatGPT. Here's how to do it in 30 seconds. Go to ChatGPT, plug in this podcast, the video, the YouTube link, and say, summarize this for me.
Why do you think that sales reps aren't doing that? You're preaching to the choir here, right? Whether it's my own team or some of the sales AEs that I coach or mentor, is it just because it's something that's new to them or they just think it's not something that falls in line with what they think the responsibilities are? I think it's absolutely critical, especially in B2B sales, like you said. I don't think you need to be everywhere either. You don't need to be on Instagram, X, everything. I really think, at least what I've seen for SaaS and for B2B learning, is go heavy on LinkedIn. And with that being said, I had this other guest on the show. His name is Omar Halababi. And he was just saying, put your content out there. People are pretty forgiving, right? They're pretty forgiving. And so you don't worry about it. Just get your thoughts out there. Curate it. And like you said, give your perspective of it, because it really helps build your own brand and credibility.
So why don't people do this? Short-sighted, short-term thinking. I want to hit my goals in a quarter. And I'm an entrepreneur. I want my delayed gratification is something I had to learn as an adult, not as a kid. As a parent, I'd say like, teach your kids delayed gratification. But that's the later thing. If you're in sales, focus on delayed gratification. What that really means is, spend the time now, invest the time now, get the compounding interest and the like 10x the goal value later, right? And I say later, I mean a year from now. So I had a friend, Ben Tigelar. He's like, hey, I want to build my personal brand. You've got one. I'm like, all right, here's what you can do. I gave him a bunch of options. I sat down with him. And I was like, you know what you should do is, here's the easiest thing. Go on Twitter. He wanted to build something. I was like, go on Twitter and build your email list. So I was like, you need to own your email. And I was like, the reason you want to own it is because they can't take that away. No one can take it away from you. A social network can't take that So if you, again, same advice, if you're on LinkedIn, still build your email list if you want to go to that next level. If you want to do 5 minutes, just post. If you want to do 10 or 20, go and get your email list. But anyways, he just posted for 90 days on Twitter every day. And he did a Twitter thread on takeaways. And this is perfect. So what's a Twitter thread? It's effectively a blog post in Twitter format, right? Like it's like the takeaways in a long rant versus a blog post that is probably twice as long to read. And he got so much engagement. It literally took him 90 days to get, I think, 5,000 to 7,000 followers. But here's the thing. He built an email list of 25,000 to 3,000 people in 90 to 120 days. It was a very short period of time. He focused on SMB acquisition. That was his thing. And yeah, it was great.
And first of all, just side question. What would you recommend? Is there a tool you'd recommend for somebody to use for building their own email newsletter?
I would say like Beehive would be good. MailChimp. I just go free. MailChimp. Get a free convert kit. I think anyone tries to overthink this. Go to email newsletter. Like my first email newsletter, I still use MailChimp. It's a piece of crap. And there's way better software out there. I've got 70,000 subscribers there. It works. I've got my VA team like managing the day-to-day. I send the simplest freaking emails. It's like a plain text email every week. But like I've been doing it every week for 10 years. And so it's just that loyalty, building that brand. So anyways, what's the value for a sales rep thinking about doing these things? The leads come to you. When you talk to someone, your close rate is going to be higher. I'm just talking sales term here. Your close rate is going to be higher because they've probably read something from you. Or better yet, if they haven't, they don't know who you are. Let's assume they don't know who you are. Before you jump on that demo, send them an email that just says, hey, I'm looking forward to our conversation. Tell me about what problem you're struggling with. And then, I wrote this article in my last newsletter, we discussed what are the most common problems with sales today and send them that link. Now they know who you are, right? Again, being helpful builds trust. Having trust in a brand increases close rate, increases deal value, it decreases time to close. So those are like the short-term revenue numbers. Put in the 120 days, 90 days really to build somewhat of a brand. And frankly, you don't need to build a brand for everyone. You need to build a brand for your audience. So if you're selling to truck drivers or transportation companies, where the hell are they? What are they doing? They're not on LinkedIn. It's like most likely they're not on LinkedIn. They're dealing with their logistical nightmares. Host a dinner, right? Like host the kind of, again, Ben Tigler did this too, is he started hosting, he turned his audience in and he did these events and they were sponsored. So someone else paid for it. And then the sponsor paid for the dinner. He just rented a room and got some material and got everyone together. Again, curating and getting people together is so clutch. And again, I don't know if truck drivers and logistic people would actually show up to your dinner, but think outside the box of how you can get in front of them. It might not be LinkedIn, but if there's 5,000 logistic companies out there, you have the time every day to figure out how to get in front of them and it's trial and error.
I have a story I was just thinking about. I have a buddy, Tom Felice, who's in the SaaS construction software business, and he did exactly, Sujin, what you talked about. He thought out of the box. So he partnered up with a VC and another auxiliary construction software, and he hosted a dinner for, I think, even some commercial real estate billionaires in New York. And he just cold called all of them, and he got them all together less than a month ago. And he got like about 10 different, he had the VC paid for it. Everybody came in, and what a great, and it's not going to lead to immediate business, but it's helping him build his network and credibility to connect everybody like that. And that's time we're spent, just like your buddy, than just sending random emails that add no value to somebody else.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, and so, look, you're using your sales techniques, cold calling, prospecting, what have you. But instead of trying to sell them, you're trying to play the long game. Again, it's all about standing out. If every call somebody gets is, hey, you want to buy my logistics software? It's going to save you time, money, blah, blah, blah. They're like, hey, look, I'm hosting a dinner. Don't hang up. Of 20 people. It's in Austin next week at 7 p.m. It's free. No sales pitches. Want to invite your CEO, right? Let me know by the end of the day because I've got like a bunch of other people interested and I've only got 20 seats. And if you can get 20 people, you can get six because six people is enough. So yeah, again, putting that work and don't even pay for it. Like I used to do this every time I traveled somewhere, I'd go paying like before starting Mailshake, or actually when we originally started Mailshake, it was actually for marketing people. And now we've since pivoted since like maybe 2017 to really a sales use case. But my audience in the longest time running a marketing agency and just in that world and marketing software was selling to marketing people. So I wanted to know everybody and I wanted them all to know who I am. So I would go when I traveled for work, for fun, a conference, I'm like, hey, I'm hosting a dinner. I'd ping people. I'd look them up. Hey, I'm hosting a dinner for eight people. I knew six would show up and I'd do two or three and I'd get all the VP of marketing and the decision makers in the room and I'd just shoot the shit with them. Then they knew who we were and like help build that brand awareness long-term. But really it was easy because a steak dinner with peers, like that just doesn't happen. There's a lot of the value is you putting in the work to put everyone together. That's really, that simple value is very rarely done. And it works. I did this 10 years ago. It works today.
You know why it works today, especially? First of all, that's brilliant, right? And it also really works today. I was on the call with a chief people officer and she's, everybody wants to go and do in-person things now after COVID. Everybody was virtual. It's so much easier right now to get a group of like-minded individuals together for a dinner or event because people want to get back together and in person and do things. So it's a great approach.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. So again, this is something you can do if you're selling in various territories. You go into meeting a client. Like I had my brother-in-law, like was working at an EV company and he'd go to Hawaii, again, a couple of different territories. He just set up meetings when he went to visit a client in Hawaii. Hawaii is a great place. There's no dinners and no activities happening there. Everyone's on the beach or maybe a lot of cliches here, but there's not as much enterprise as you think. It is very hard to get to everyone together. If you did that, you would be crossing this chasm of so much value for like just little effort. And hey, you're going there anyways. Eat with someone instead of alone.
Yeah. I think that kind of brings up another point too as well. And so at Mail, it's a very crowded space. Like you mentioned, the outreaches and everybody. How do you define who your target customer is and actually stay in that lane, right? It takes a little bit of courage to do that, to say, hey, we're not going to go after this, but we're going to like, either it's, these are our verticals, this is our niche. Because don't you think that also helps build the credibility and the expertise?
Yeah, you mean being laser focused on who you are, who you're going after? Absolutely. I think, I guess that was one of those, if you can stay focused, I think that's going to be very helpful. I find that I didn't even mention it because I frankly think it's very hard for someone to do when you're struggling, you scatterbrain. But to the extent you can focus on a specific industry, and it goes back to who is your ICP, who's your customer, who's the best use case, right? And so for us, I'll give an example. Everyone in the world in B2B SaaS targets other B2B SaaS companies. B2B SaaS companies are the worst customers ever. Not because they're not going to stick around, not because of anything of what they do and who they are. It's because most B2B SaaS companies are funded, right? When they're funded and you're in a hard time, they're having layoffs. There's a formulaic process here, right? And so when things are good, it's great. The other reason they're bad customers is every single person in the world is going after them. They're an easy target. I can guarantee you 99% of people, founders or B2B SaaS companies are on LinkedIn. They're getting also pitched on LinkedIn. So if you go after B2B SaaS companies, you're going after the most crowded market possible that has budgetary limitations and is not going to buy. If you go after trucking and logistics company, the opposite scenario, the hardest people to find online, you're going to have to go through many different databases and even probably use a combination of a couple of things to actually get their contact information, but they're less pitched than B2B SaaS. So your close rate, your demo rate, the number of leads you can build is much, much higher. My general advice when in times like this is zig when everyone's zagging and zag when everyone's zigging. So just do something different. And then again, laser focus, find kind of pockets. So for us, we would be targeting these five or six different sales personas or sales teams. And yes, they still exist. And that's still our core use case. But guess what? a lot of them got laid off. A lot of them downsized. They don't have the buying power. They're reducing budgets, what have you. Our biggest customer is actually lead gen agencies who are providing lead generation services to other businesses. And we find to go after them, and we're laser focused on them. And then we found if we go after lead gen agencies that are already well established, the switching cost is too high. Meaning even if I gave it to them for free or I paid them, here's $5,000, come over to my company. They'd be like, I cannot. I have my whole business running on this. It's going to give me, I'm going to have downtime. I have all this new training of all this other stuff I have to do to get the team to know how to use this. I just can't switch right now. It's not going to work. If I went to somebody who has 3 to 5 clients, the up and comers, they're like, hell yeah. I don't have to pay for your software. Like, you have any discount or you're going to help me? Hell yeah. I will be totally loyal. Like I'll buy it right now. So it's get them at the time of where it matters and be laser focused on that segment.
What I hear you saying really is zig when others are zagging and try to be instead of being a small fish in a big pond, try to be a big fish in a small pond. What advice or recommendations, taking that a step further, do you have either for sales professionals to explore and uncover opportunities like that?
So biggest thing is you have a treasure chest of information in your CRM. Look at your lost deals. Here's what I'm going to start with. First, look at the deals you didn't win and figure out who they are. And then look for those deals. Look for those prospects when they come in. So if you're never winning against B2B SaaS companies, when you sell, maybe you shouldn't put in all the work on that one, right? Put all the work on the other one, right? So if you could take, you find out where not to spend your time, you have now carved out where you could spend your time, right? You've given yourself some time. Use that not time that you don't spend here to build your personal brand. But I think there's a lot of information in your CRM. I would hop on, again, right now my team is not actually bored, but they've got a lot more time than they normally do because the demos are down, the number of leads that they get are down. I'm like, hey, go ping your people that you closed in the last six months and ask them, how's it going? What are they doing? What's working for them? Is there anything they need help with? So go for upsells, but really go get data. I'm like, okay, these are the customers that I really worked well for. And then lastly, go join customer success calls for fun. Learn about what they're doing and what customers that are after they sign up, what they're doing. Because I find in sales and even in marketing, you only know what you're supposed to say and what your familiarity with the product is. But generally, if you're in sales, you are not always using the product the way your customer does, right? So you have to go back and forth with somebody else to get the answer. Go learn how to master the product and do blah, blah, and blah with it. So that when someone comes in that has that question, you're like, really just show you how to, this is, when you're done, I'm going to send you a video on this, right? Like, boom. And that other part of that is like, when you master the product, when someone asks you about some functionality, you can say, hey, I'm going to follow up with you with this video on exactly how to do it because it'll be easier than me explaining it live. And now you can keep that sales momentum going instead of distracting yourself and going a different direction. And now you've opened a can of worms of, do you have this feature? Can you do this? Can you do this? Go to, let's solve this problem. I'm going to follow up with the video. You got to check it out. And then again, the fact that you got them on that you said, hey, I'm going to follow up with this, it's more likely that they're going to open up their email and respond as well. So like now they're not going to ghost you as much because that's a problem too.
And also you're doing something for our listeners out there. What we're talking about is doing things different, right? Very rarely does anybody come up. Everybody just goes through this typical sales process, right? They step by step, let me send you my deck. Let's do this. What you're doing is, hey, creating a different perspective where you actually have a point of view and an expert and you're helping them solve their business problems. There's a sales leader out there named Mike Weinberg, one of my favorites. And he said exactly what you said is a lot of times you don't know how your customers are using your software, your features, your benefits. Sujin, you also don't know where you bring value to them. What you perceive as how you're giving them value, they might look at it completely different. And if you could extract that information from them, that helps you reframe those conversations when you're meeting with other potential customers, right? You can create a story like, here's how we bring value to X company, right? And so that helps tie the story back for them.
Exactly. And again, it's just like one of these things that these are all things you're experiencing today, /like it's in your face, but if you're in sales today, you cannot tell the forest from the trees. You're in the trees, right? If you can back up, you can actually see where you're at, and there's a lot of opportunities. So I want to like just mention, like we started with, it's harder than ever to sell, but you have more leads than you think you have. You have more opportunities because generally the direction of more people have adopted technology or more people are buying than ever. It just happens to be you got slapped in the face with also more people are selling than ever. And you're coming off of this, like everyone in the world is coming off to this high of the buyers buying. And that was just luck. But I was just like, that's not going to happen again for a while.
No, I'm totally with you on that. And it's making me think too, you're saying demos are down. We don't have as many meetings going on, less opportunities. But what the sales professionals and organizations need to do is really understand that there are more leads and opportunities out there. You just got to figure out how to get creative and also really adapt, right? Adapt and learn and don't sit on your heels, so to speak, and say, and be a victim like, oh, this sucks. This is the way things are going. Get creative, get out there and generate new ideas and new activities. Time may be limited, but leverage it for high level activities or opportunities and do things different.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just, it goes back to you put in the work, you over time get the results.
And where do you think learning plays into this as far as a sales rep?
Frankly, I think learning is something that people should be doing on a regular basis. Weekly, ideally is ideal, right? That might be a big ask. The reality is you probably have more time to learn, but you're frazzled and you can't focus. I think a lot of times a human body, your brain's like, you're in crisis mode and then you're like, I just need to sell. And you're like, I'm going to go sell. When reality is, okay, I can't sell. Let me go do everything but selling right now and devote extra time to not selling so that you can build your book of business, you build your brand so that it's easier to sell in the future. But yeah, learning, auditing your calls, you're getting feedback. Another piece is also just participating in the community. So you're not like in sales, you're not alone in this struggle, right? You're also not alone in ideas. Like I gave you a bunch of ideas, I rattled them off. There's other people in the trenches that are probably have found other ways to be successful. Go find out. So if you're a sales rep in Memphis, Tennessee, well, go to the community. If there isn't one, go find a community, right? If there isn't one, go ping a bunch of SDR reps or whatever, or if you're sales manager or VP of sales, go just create that network of people and just ask them, hey, I'm struggling. Are you like, and just be open and create that community. My guess is there's already communities out there that you can participate in. I'm a big champion of, I prefer to own the community meaning I want to be around smart people. So I will go put the smart people I want in the room. And then what that usually happens is I put in the work once or twice. And it just keeps growing on and on.
Can you talk a little bit more about that as far as how could somebody create something like that if they wanted to do something similar on a smaller level, right?
Yeah, like I said, go on LinkedIn, So look, what I just described, you don't need a personal brand. You don't need anything. You could actually be in college. You don't even need a job to do this, right? You just have to have you got to just put in the work at the end of the day. So if one of the things, like I told my product manager, I'm going to use this non-salespeople example because it might show the difficulty for people in more rural areas or just starting out. So my head of product, she was in remote town, Texas. I'm like, hey, you need to connect with other product managers. And what are they doing? What are they thinking? How are they? You just don't know. You're like in your bubble. And I'm like, that's my feedback for her in our like performance review. It wasn't that she's in a bad job, but what is a great job? We just don't know. So I had to reach out to other product groups, like other product managers in, I think it was like outside of Houston. So she reached out to people in Houston. Okay. There was not that many. I was like, okay, well reach out to people in Bay Area. Like I'm going to pay for a flight one night in one hotel, two day stay, just take a trip and go meet a bunch of people. So if you're in freaking middle of nowhere, go take a flight. Go pick a city or a last minute flight that's cheap. Go stay in a Holiday Inn Express or whatever, right? Use your points. go meet people you need to meet and put in that work. And again, like I said, 6 to 8 people, that's all you need to say yes. You actually only need 2 people to say yes. So once you get your first 2 people, which are the hardest to say yes for dinner or whatever, or like grabbing drinks or happy hour, then you can say, hey, I got this and this. I'm inviting a couple more people. But just keep doing that. And when you're there, don't just drink and hang out and talk about how great it is and fake it. Like, hey, what are you struggling with? Is it hard for you to sell? Because it is freaking impossible for me to sell right now. What are you doing? What's working for you? And I guarantee you, you're going to get 1 nugget or 2 nugget. And then you can keep repeating that process. Like I said, you don't really need anything to do this. And you don't even have to, you don't need money outside of maybe booking a flight or driving somewhere. That's the next biggest city to where you're at.
No, I love it. And especially what you're saying is be vulnerable. It's okay. And reach out to other people that in similar roles. Because I could tell you one thing, salespeople, it's tough out there, right? So having somebody, so instead of feeling like you're going at it alone, and salespeople love to talk. So instead of going at it alone, reach out, build a network, whether it's in person or over LinkedIn, I think it can go a long way. Susan, you're awesome. Any last bits of advice for sales professionals out there right now?
Go take action. Go do any of the things we just talked about. Talk to other reps. One of the things that will happen is you will probably realize that you're not alone and there's some low-hanging fruit that you'll learn within the first effort. Like the first time you do something, you'll find one small nugget and that's going to give you that little motivation to keep going.
And you know what else it does, I find? Let's say you're feeling a little down or things aren't going well, you feel a little down. But then connecting with other people and sharing your experiences and being vulnerable and then asking questions and letting them respond back, it motivates you. It picks up, it makes you feel better and gives you more confidence. I think this has been awesome, man. What we touched on today is right around the beginning of COVID, well, actually 2015 to 2021, buyers were buying. Now sellers need to sell. And some of the key takeaways I got out of it is the importance of having a personal brand. Also, zigging when other people are zagging and going out and creating a network for yourself and building an alliance with others and having to stick with it because times are tough right now, but there's more opportunities and leads out there than we may realize. I love all your advice. Where can people connect with you at?
LinkedIn is where I'm most active. So it's linkedin.com/InSujanPatel. And if you have any questions, just ask me. That's another thing is I'm open book. Just ask questions. Just don't ask me questions you can Google.
Yeah, I'm totally agree with that. Also, check out your podcast. What I love about your podcast is that they're typically less than 20 minutes long and they're full of sales nuggets. So it's a great opportunity to learn as well. So that's it for today, everybody. If you enjoyed today's episode, do me a favor, rate and review. And until next time, keep learning and stay curious. Have a good day, everybody. See ya.